Welcome back to the News at Noon. County Road 00 will be closed today until 4 p.m. for culvert replacement. This closure will be from State Highway 60 to Oak Ridge Drive in Orion Township, including sections 21, 28, 29, and 32. That from Derek Brown, Patrol Superintendent, Richland County Highway Department. The Richland County Board recently approved a resolution for a comprehensive facility improvement plan, a decision marked by essential repairs for the Simons Recreation Complex. At the heart of the plan is the replacement of the facility's HVAC system, which became the focal point of a spirited debate regarding the long-term viability of the complex and the wisdom of continued taxpayer investment. Board members raised critical questions about the future of the building and the specific level of commitment from the City of Richland Center. A significant shift in the resolution occurred when Supervisor Bob Frank successfully moved to amend the language, striking a requirement that the city fund 50% of the HVAC repairs. This amendment passed despite opposition from Supervisors Thompson, Nolan, and Collins Johnsrud. The broader discussion touched on the county's historical challenges with property maintenance, with Supervisors Cooey and Perry noting a trend of neglect, while Cooey emphasized the facility's vital importance to the community. Financial transparency and the burden on taxpayers remained central concerns throughout the meeting. Supervisor Welty expressed support for the services offered by Simons, but remained wary of future costs, citing a lack of clarity. Similarly, Supervisor Thompson characterized the center as a luxury for the county and voiced fears that escalating expenses could become a substantial burden. In contrast, Supervisor Turk argued that maintaining the complex is a necessary investment, suggesting that repairs are essential whether the county keeps the facility or seeks a transition to a different owner, remarking that the alternative to repair would simply be demolition. Despite these varying perspectives on the path forward, the board ultimately reached a consensus and the resolution was approved unanimously. Residents of the region have voiced intense opposition to the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project, citing widespread concerns over environmental health, safety, and local governance. The unique geology of the Driftless area, characterized by sensitive limestone formations and vital trout streams, stands at the center of the debate. Community members fear that the construction will irrevocably damage the region's natural water filtration system and landscape, arguing that the proposed routes fail to consider the area's unique geology. Safety also remains a primary worry, with residents highlighting potential risks such as stray voltage, induction hazards, and the threat that tall towers pose to local aviation. These concerns are compounded by fears of health impacts on residents, particularly children, as well as the long-term noise pollution associated with the project. Critics argue that the power lines offer no local benefit, while potentially burdening residents with permanent damage to local infrastructure, including roads and bridges. Distrust regarding federal transparency and the potential for non-disclosure agreements has fueled a push for strong local and state government intervention. As landowners in Vernon and Crawford counties form a legal coalition to contest the project, the community is urging officials to demand a bipartisan energy plan and reject rushed project approvals. Residents emphasize that this fight is essential for future generations, calling on neighbors to contact elected officials and stand firm against the proposal to protect their farms, homes, and quality of life. Senator Sarah Kieski was in attendance, listening, taking notes, and ultimately sharing information with the public. Kieski explained, "This is not a done deal," and added that information has been slow in coming at times, but she is learning as much as she can and will continue to share information with the public throughout the process. Following extensive public input, the Richland County Board approved a resolution requesting additional information on the proposed 765 kV transmission lines. While many Richland County residents were attending the county board meeting last night to discuss the power lines, Richland Center City Alderperson Rachel Schultz requested that the 765 line be placed on the next agenda for the September City Council meeting. She acknowledged that while the proposed line does not go through the city, it does affect surrounding land that in effect can deter tourism in the area, which would hence affect local businesses. Mayor Karen Tapley also stated that she shared a letter she wrote to the county administration concerning the 765 line and also requested that it be included in the next council meeting agenda. The Richland Center City Council then approved a request from Lydia's House Ministries regarding a warranty deed, title search, and loan forgiveness for the property located at 929 West Seminary Street. The city became owner of the property when Southwest CAP recorded a quitclaim deed conveying the property to the city August 27th of last year without the city's prior consent or knowledge. Lydia's House Ministries, which has operated the property as a homeless shelter since 2014, requested that the city perform a title search at the city's expense, draft and provide a warranty deed conveying the property to Lydia's House Ministries at the city's expense, forgive approximately $75,000 in debt executed by Southwest CAP in favor of the city on February 23, 2027, which by its own terms is defined as due October 31st, 2031, or Southwest CAP's sale or conveyance of the property, or its discontinuation of 60 to 90 day transitional residential housing for homeless families, and to convey the property to Lydia's House Ministries at no cost, free and clear of any financial encumbrance. The resolution passed on a 7-0 vote with one abstention by Frank Hoffman due to a conflict of interest. The City of Richland Center owns and operates the Richland Center Municipal Airport, including the airport fuel farm, and supplies aviation fuel to airport users. It was mentioned at last night's meeting that the cost the city pays for aviation fuel fluctuates with the market, and fuel prices must be adjusted on an ongoing and timely basis to keep pace with the city's replacement cost and to avoid selling below cost. The council unanimously approved establishing aviation fuel prices. Fuel will never be sold under the cost to the city. In other action, the council approved a 60-month contract with Rhyme Business Solutions for a monthly base payment of $477 for replacement of 3 copier scanner fax machines. This is a savings of $1,145 annually. And also to amend an ordinance to authorize electronic message center signs on public property. The appointment of Evan Ewing was also approved to serve on the park board on a vote of 5-2-1. Alderpersons Rachel Schultz, Melanie Walters, Doug Martinick, Steve Downs, and Ryan Cairns voted in favor. Brad Wegner and Chris Jarvis voted against, and Frank Hoffman abstained. A local woman is facing a felony charge after a routine traffic stop for equipment violations led to the discovery of illegal narcotics late last week. Richland Center Police Chief Billy Jones announced the arrest of 42-year-old Amber N. Ernst following an investigation that began on the evening of August 13th. The incident unfolded at approximately 7:30 p.m. when officers with the Richland Center Police Department observed a vehicle traveling through the city with a cracked windshield and missing the front license plate. Upon initiating a traffic stop, officers identified Ernst as the driver and quickly determined that she was operating the vehicle without a valid driver's license. During the encounter, a deputy from the Richland County Sheriff's Department arrived on the scene to provide assistance. The deputy deployed a canine unit to perform an exterior sniff of the vehicle, and the dog alerted officers to the presence of narcotics. A subsequent search revealed a pill bottle on Ernst's person, which she admitted contained methamphetamine. Police confirmed that the substance, weighing approximately 4.5 grams, returned a positive field test for the drug. Ernst was taken into custody without further incident and transported to the Richland County Jail. She now faces a formal charge of possession of methamphetamine. Chief Jones credited the successful investigation to the collaborative efforts of the Richland Center Police Department and the Richland County Sheriff's Department. Anthony Anthony J. Lehman remains in the Waukesha County Jail following a Tuesday court appearance. He's due back in court August 27th. The 21-year-old faces six felony charges in the July 30th hostage situation at a Waukesha Meijer supermarket that ended with police shooting him. A criminal complaint states Lehman called 911, telling dispatchers he had a hostage inside a restroom with a knife at what he called, quote, a dead man switch that was later determined to be a spring clamp with two razor blades. The 59-year-old hostage fought back with his belt and followed Lehman out of the restroom, warning the other shoppers. Investigators say Lehman threatened an employee and two customers, raised a knife toward the hostage, and refused commands to drop his weapons. An officer fired three shots, hitting him. Lafayette County Sheriff Reg Gill reports Chloe Schultes, 23, of Bellevue, Iowa, died after the UTV she was a passenger in rolled over Monday night. The crash occurred along Fox Valley Road in the town of Wayne at approximately 8:15 p.m. Monday. The driver, a 22-year-old woman from Dubuque, lost control of the vehicle and it rolled. Schultes was transported to St. Mary's Hospital in Madison via MedFlight, where she died Tuesday morning. The driver and two boys who had also been passengers in the UTV were taken by ambulance to a nearby hospital. The boys were not wearing helmets at the time of the crash. The Department of Natural Resources is investigating the accident. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services and Grant County Health Department have confirmed two new measles cases in Grant County, escalating the regional total to 36 confirmed and three probable cases. This highly contagious airborne virus can linger in the environment for up to 2 hours. Residents should monitor for symptoms like high fever, cough, and a red rash appearing 10 to 21 days after exposure. If symptoms develop, individuals must isolate and call a provider before seeking care. The MMR vaccine remains the most effective defense, offering 97% protection after two doses. Health officials urge everyone to verify their vaccination status via the Wisconsin Immunization Registry or a medical provider. Children typically receive doses at age 1 and between ages 4 and 6, while most adults should have at least one dose on record. For further assistance or to report concerns, Grant County residents can call 211 or contact the local health department. Wisconsin has successfully secured more than $140 million in federal funding to modernize its passenger rail infrastructure, marking a significant milestone in the state's ongoing efforts to enhance transportation alternatives. This substantial investment, awarded by the Federal Railroad Administration through the National Railroad Partnership Program, is funded by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. The grant, pursued in collaboration with Amtrak and several partner states, is specifically designated for the midlife overhaul of 41 Charger locomotives. These locomotives are essential for maintaining reliable service across several key Midwest and Pacific Northwest corridors, including the heavily traveled Hiawatha route between Milwaukee and Chicago. The modernization project involves a comprehensive set of technical upgrades designed to extend the operational life of the Charger fleet. These specific overhauls include detailed work on diesel engines, turbochargers, traction motors, and high-pressure fuel pumps. Additionally, the project addresses critical mechanical components such as wheel sets and air compressors. Alongside these locomotive improvements, Wisconsin is also participating in a separate $45 million grant project to install onboard shunt enhancement devices across the rolling stock, further boosting the safety and performance of the entire rail system. This latest achievement stands in contrast to the historical challenges Wisconsin has faced regarding rail expansion. While the state recently celebrated the success of the Borealis line, which has served over 416,000 passengers since its 2024 launch, past efforts were more contentious. In 2010, a planned high-speed rail connection between Madison and Milwaukee was derailed when $810 million in federal funds was rejected, leading to a costly legal settlement. Despite these previous setbacks, current initiatives like the Borealis route and the proposed Hiawatha extension into Madison reflect a renewed momentum for passenger rail, driven by record ridership and a continued commitment to connecting Wisconsin's economic centers. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. A Red Cross blood drive is being held today until 1:30 at Kickapoo High School in Biola. Upcoming blood drives will be held Friday, August 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cornerstone Church in Spring Green, and Monday, August 24th from 1 until 6 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in Laval. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. Governor Tony Evers and the state's new film office, Film Wisconsin, recently announced that six productions have been awarded more than $1 million through Wisconsin's inaugural Film Tax Credit Program. This initiative, created by the 2025 through 2027 biennial budget and launched within the Department of Tourism, is designed to bring new creative endeavors to the state, strengthen the film industry, and bolster Wisconsin's tourism and travel economy. The first group of recipients includes a variety of projects that highlight Wisconsin's stories and talent. Among the selected works is RAO, an independent feature film detailing an Indian American family's journey to northern Wisconsin. Another project, The Warehouse, is a documentary from Oma Chance Productions that follows the efforts to complete Frank Lloyd Wright's final remaining unfinished building. Other notable recipients include Long Shot, How Bud Selig Brought Baseball Home, Uke, a documentary about legendary broadcaster Bob Uecker, Run for Glory, The Don Beebe Story, and a short film from Cyclops Girl Productions. Administered by Film Wisconsin, the program makes $5 million available annually to support feature films, television shows, documentaries, and production infrastructure. To be eligible for the credits, productions must meet specific spending requirements regarding salary and wages for cast and crew, with a maximum credit of $1 million available per fiscal year. Film Wisconsin will continue to review tax credit applications on a monthly basis. Today's winners in the Grace Calendar raffle drawings: ticket 185, Valerie Meister of Muscadet, and on ticket 3310, Peg Call from Richland Center. Congratulations.